feel like I need to reintroduce myself to you. It's been so long as I've been preaching. I mean, last Sunday we had the Laity Day Sunday. The day before that, who preached the Sunday before that? Was it you? Or was it Jill? It was Jill. And the day before that, I think it was him. And Steve, it's like riding a bike. Or falling off a bike. Thank you for the special music. You know, I so forget the simple core. Yes, Jesus loves me. I want to preach. This morning's scripture is long, but I've always believed there is power. Power for our lives. And I want you to hear, read, see, whatever it is, and experience that being entered into your psyche, your life. Scripture this morning, first from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and refuge. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He'll command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, whatever you have learned or received, and the God of peace will be with you always. Years ago, when Joyce and I were young and adventurous, there would be times we would just go out and travel the countryside. We would ditch the highways for the back roads, those kind of roads, you know, that the travel brochures call the scenic route. Some were paved, some were not. Some were closed. We found our way through. But as we'd wander down the roads, these old roads, we'd come across rickety old bridges, the kind that made Joyce's stomach clench. Car across it before it was done. And we'd find old general stores and the old roadside gas stations with a mechanic's garage attached to it. You know, remnants of a bygone era, even in those days. I remember one garage in particular. As soon as I walked in, the aroma of oil and grease and gasoline permeated the air. Inside the front door, there was a penny gum machine filled with Chiclets. Do they still sell Chiclets? And right beside that was an old Coke machine where for a nickel you could buy a 10.5 Coke. And then right beside it, there was an old wooden crate where you would place your empty because they didn't have no deposit, no return, throw it away and reuse. As you move through the actual store part, this little garage, you'd walk into the bay area and you could see the walls were covered with all sizes, shapes of belts and of oil can cases and stacks of tires, usually in fours or eights. You could see the old work benches that were nicked and scarred from parts being tossed on them that were soaked with oil that were covered by very well used tools. Or instead of having these hydraulic lifts, and you began just to pump that thing until the front of the car or the back of the car came up to work. So you get on the old mechanic's creeper and slide under to work. Anybody seen that kind of garage? Yeah. Anybody not seen that kind of garage? Raise your hand. Movies, history books. And there among all the others, there were signs everywhere, you know, mobile gas and Quaker State Oil and AC spark plugs. And then there were handmade signs, you know, just on wood, painted up in really crude brush strokes. We don't loan tools. Or, they didn't mean credit cards. Or, labor rate $10 an hour, a long time ago. $10 an hour, if you watch, $25 an hour. But the one that really stuck with me was big bold print or paint on the back of the actual cash register. Cash. But long gone are those days of faded roadside garages. Today is the beginning of a four-week series that we'll be focusing on the power of trust. And it's our hope that as we explore that power, we ask questions to meet our needs. Can God trust us? And to learn from others who've asked the same questions in their lives. Like the old sign that said, in God we trust. But I often wonder, as I look at myself and the things that happen internally for me, do we trust God? I don't mean some general ethos so we put a slogan on our currency, but I mean you and me individually in our lives. Do we really trust God for the things we encounter as we live our lives day by day? Believe that God is here with us. We'll meet our needs as we go through hard times. We could spend time if we had the time to ask you to name the things we trust God for, but this is Sunday morning and you have your Sunday morning clothes on and you give us the Sunday school answers and we'd name them all there. But I wonder how you'd answer the question in an anonymous survey middle of the week in the evening when you're tired. And you've been through the stresses you hadn't expected. The things we trust God for, or that we may not. I don't know if it's universal. It's not easy to trust. Even people we know and can see and can hear and can shake their hand to know they are real is not easy to trust, especially if we're talking about things that we're not sure that we can handle, so we feel even less secure to give it to somebody else, because I want to be sure that it's done right, and that means the way way I would do it. People that we know and can see and be with, how much harder is it to trust a God that's invisible? A God whose voice can't be heard the same way we hear others' voices, can't be seen with the same eyes as see other people. This may be all autobiographical. You may have everything taken care of, and you may have put everything in God's hands in your life, and you may never, ever have a question. But I learned a long time ago, for a while I thought I was really special, you know, that I was unique. And then I learned that I wasn't nearly as unique as I thought I was. And so the things that I struggle with, I see other people struggling with too. And so what do we do with the things we're not really sure God takes care of in our lives? I think there are the answer might be found as we try to look at three words this morning. The words are rest, risk, and reach. And how we measure our willingness to trust God in those three areas may give us some insight. The first word is rest, or at times a lack. Sleep well? Anybody here have that happen on a regular basis? Yeah, my hand's up for me, not for you. How will we do with this thing called choose to just stop everything you're doing and breathe? Help your body by sitting and relaxing and shaking off the physical tension and just breathe. Continue to bombard you, going after you for all the things that you don't have good plans to handle, and you know they're coming. How about at night? When you finally turn off the TV and the lights and finally put down your tablet and your smartphone, and you settled into the quiet dark, do you find your mind is able to rest and you drift off easily to sleep without the... You ever find that even though you say that you trust God, you still lie awake worrying about things, running scenarios in your head about what you need to fix this or do that? Do your monthly bills or your upcoming doctor's appointments ever seem to lean over your bed and whisper? If you do, you're not alone. In 2007, there was a survey that was conducted about stress and anxiety disorders. They discovered that 7 out of 10 adults in the U.S., 7 out of 10, say they experience stress or anxiety daily, and most say it interferes at least moderately with their lives. Stress or excessive anxiety every day, or that they have had an anxiety or panic attack. 7 out of 10 of those adults say they have had trouble sleeping, not from pain of illnesses, symptoms, conditions, not from sleep apnea, but from anxiety, uncertainty, and fear. That rest is so elusive for so many of us because we don't know, or we aren't willing bless you our what ifs to trust God to deal with them and to lead us through them. Do we really trust God to meet our needs and provide for us and to guide us in our daily lives? To find out, I'd invite you to take an inventory of how you measure up in the area of rest. When you leave here this morning, or if it really is something you want to do, take a piece of paper out now. But when you leave here this morning, take a piece of paper and a pen, or if you're, you know, not of a certain age, open up your laptop or your tablet and write down all the things you think about. All the things that are in the works, or you know, are looming out there in front, the things you aren't sure about, the things you didn't handle well with somebody else, and so you think about relationships too. Think about all the things you worry about, and then look, how long is your list? Not to shame us, because I can promise you my list is enough that I'd be shamed. Not to do it to obsess over all the things I don't know how to overcome. But instead, I invite you to make that list and print it out and keep it in your hands as you go to prayer. If you're at a point in your life where you need that moment just to cry out, say, God, I don't know what to do with these things. Please take them from me. That's appropriate. Being able to meet this in my life. God, I'm struggling with this. Thank you for taking it from me as I let go of it to you. And pray through every single one of those things. Every day. For a month. And then go back over your inventory again. See how you deal with the things that are there, or how many things aren't on the list at all anymore. As the scripture said, always with praise and thanksgiving to God, bring your petitions to him. How can we be confident unless we're thankful that we believe that he's meeting our needs? Rest is an issue. How you doing with that part of your life? The second word is risk. I don't mean as so much as our willingness to risk doing something specific, as much as I mean how we deal with the times in our lives that we believe that we're facing risks that we can't begin to control or overcome in our own wisdom and our own power. When we face times like that, whether it's an unexpected life-altering health diagnosis or the unexpected loss of a job or the unexpected loss of grief and losing a loved one to death or losing the one love of one who's decided he or she doesn't love you anymore, how do you respond? What do you do? To whom do you turn? Anger, depression that come at those times. Not mean that. I think it's unrealistic to say, well, all these things happen, and we say, well, bless the Lord, I'm okay. I've known folks who became okay. But when you lose someone in the center of your life, most of us can't just say, bless the Lord, I'm okay. So I'm saying those feelings are all legitimate. And when somebody comes to you, well-intended, at least I hope, and says things as you're expressing your own pain and your anxiety and your depression, despair, they says, well, you shouldn't feel that way. And I'll tell you why. I'm here to tell you that's false. And am I allowed to say in the sanctuary, hogwash? Somebody says, well, if you'd only pray harder, believe more, that's just evil. It's bad enough that I feel the way that I feel. Please don't make me feel guilty for that or feel stupid because I do. But as I move to to seek God in the midst of that risk, do we believe God is there? Or are we all left alone? Do we trust God in our times of risk or peril? That God will provide and protect and guide us, drawing us. God's right beside us in our time of pain and risk. He's holding us close in the midst of the hardest moments, but our lack of trust in the midst of our pain blinds us to his presence. The third word I've suggested this morning is the word reach. Now by this I mean finding the courage to reach beyond our comfort zones, to dare to try to do something beyond our that we would take the chance. To dare to reach even when it doesn't seem to make sense on paper, even when the math doesn't work, as the scientists would say. Do we trust God to be with us and for us in our lives, to risk to follow him as he calls us to dare to do something for him? This seems completely out of the realm of what seems to be safe. And if we believe he knows us, we believe God really cares for us. God knows us and he cares for us. We believe God is here with us. As I listened to Donna and Greg play Jesus Loves Me, I got to thinking, of course, about that verse in John 3:16. And I wanted to say, as I think about this too, I want to say, do we believe that Jesus loved us to do that, but doesn't love us enough to do this? How can I believe that for my life, but I worry about all the things that come to me? If we believe those things to be true, then we can have the courage to reach forward, to reach his hands in something new. Do you have the courage to risk beyond time in your life when you were younger, when you just went for it? I mean, you were young and dumb. Some of us are now old and dumb, but you were young and dumb, and you didn't know where you were heading, but you knew seated, and boy, the rush. Why did we run away from the opportunities to feel the rush? We settle into the safe lane. And that's all well and good. We can't live on adrenaline all the time. The body breaks down. But we aren't meant to forget there is a different lane to travel. When God calls us, reaching almost always is frightening, and sometimes it can even make your palms sweat. Have you ever had your palms sweat because you were anxious in a moment or unsure or you got yourself in deeper and you didn't know how to get out? I can think of some times that might be the case. When you ask that special someone to marry you, that's stepping out somewhere. That can make your palms sweat. Or when you say yes to that bozo, I'm not sure what he's going to be like in all those years, you take that risk and you make your palms sweat. Or maybe when you anything for you, it's stable. And you see a job that has tremendous opportunity in it, but not so much stability, or you've always wanted to start. Remember, a job, even if it's not exciting, there's nothing to sneeze at. But you decided to reach. That'll make your palms sweat. Or maybe it's when God is calling you to go deeper in your own disciple pathway, to make it a priority for you and your family to attend worship weekly. or to make it a priority to join a small group or a Bible or to says, and how we see God living the lives of people around us, even that can make your palms sweat when you get into it, because all of a sudden you're seeing new things and you're hearing new things, and God may be saying, I want more than what we've been talking about before, but that requires us to change. That can make your palms sweat. To trust him as you reach beyond yourself to increase your giving to the church. To move beyond where you give a gift when all the stars align just right. To choose to begin to give weekly, incrementally, percentage giving. And if you're doing that by percentage already, to go to a higher percentage. Now tell me, if that don't make your palms sweat, the worst way to try to do that is to sit down with a piece of paper and try to pencil it out. The best way is to hear the invitation, the challenge. Say, God, I trust you in this. And I long to respond to that and to reach for that. Or maybe it's a time that God challenged you to reach to do something in your own eyes. It was impossible. That'll make your palms sweat. Some years ago, I was serving a church. Exploratory process, the leadership was working through some things, and we asked the question, what is it God wants us to do to assure ministry in our community 30 years from now? Prayer and a lot of encouraging and checking each other, the leadership team really believed purchase 11 acres of property. Now, before you go anywhere else, I'm not talking about this congregation and this community. I need to hear that because you're going to go there. And I understand, too, that until you're sure about certain things, we have no plans to look anywhere else. I heard somebody say one day in a meeting, it said, why would I want to sell my 50-yard line tickets instead of the 20? We're right here in the center. To see all that's happening and to be able to be present, to try to connect to the community. So settle that question. Now back to my other church. 11 acres of ground in a highly developing area. We didn't know what for yet. And we worked through that and we came to the point one night late. Car and closed the door, I said to nobody or God, let's do. What have we gotten ourselves into? Can we do this? Or how in the world can we do this? Now you need to understand, this congregation was not a congregation that was ready to do that by their own numbers. When I first moved there, they were putting utility bills in the back this week because we can't pay it. And they hadn't paid any kind of, you know, an old Methodist term of apportionments, support of the larger church in years. To taking on this impossible vision in 4 years, 5 years' time. And 3 years later, the stifling debt was paid off for this new property. And it's not because we could do it. Because God said, reach So don't, you know, when we pray, God, please provide for us financially, we're not really expecting God to send somebody new in, are we? His answer usually is, okay, stand up, pull out your pockets. I'll provide for you through you, and then I'll meet your needs as you do that. And talking about palms sweating, and then talking about celebrating to see God reach back to us as we reached out to him to make what was impossible possible. There are so But when we choose to reach beyond ourselves for God's hand, trusting God to provide for us as we do, God always makes a way. Because I've been caught up in lots of things, and not all those things were happy. But I wrote these words anyway, and as I just now said that, that felt different to me than it's felt all week. God always makes a way. God always makes a way. God always makes a way. Would you say that with me? Three. God always makes a way. Now say it like you're trying to convince me. God always makes a way. Go to IKEA and around us to go to Portillo's. One more time. God always makes a way. And he does. Amen. Would you stand as we close in a word of prayer? Almighty God, just that word, Almighty, means that you are more powerful than anything. There is no limit to your power. Almighty God, all-loving God, all-providing God. We come confessing. I come confessing. So many times I get limited by the things that get in the way of my vision for you. And I do not rest. I cannot rest. And I do not turn to you and risk difficult times. And I find myself afraid to reach. Give us that courage. Day for ourselves, for our families, for your congregation here to carry out the ministries of your church. Because, Lord, you always find the way for us.